Raiders. But they were given an assignment. Here's some popular sayings, popular phrases, okay, that they were asked to complete the phrase. So the phrase would start, okay, better safe than sorry, right? Okay, well, this is what they put. Strike while the, and they wrote, bug is close. It's always darkest before daylight savings time. Don't bite the hand that looks dirty. A miss is as good as a mister. You can't teach an old dog new math. And an idle mind is the best way to relax. A penny saved is not much money. And the last one, laugh and the world laughs with you. Cry and you have to blow your nose a lot. So I got these and I thought, I just need to share this with you guys because it's been a difficult day and we just need something to smile about this evening. Tonight, if you'd like to open your Bibles to Colossians 3, verse 23 and 24 will be our text for the lesson this evening. It's a passage we're familiar with, but I'd like for us to talk about living life in service to God, living it from the heart. Living that life from the heart, serving from the heart, obeying from the heart. Colossians 3, verse 23 and 24. And whatever you do, do it heartily. New King James Version. Do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. We will not receive the reward from men. No man is going to be able to give us what we really need. We may get all kinds of prizes and honors and medals. We may get money. We may get possessions. We may get glory and fame. But what we need is an inheritance eternal that fades not away. What we need is something called salvation. We need heaven as our eternal home, and that's the reward, that's the inheritance that we will receive from God. And we need to recall and remember always that we serve the Lord Christ. We're not in this for fame and glory. We're not in this for what we can get out of it here. We don't endure and go through what is required to be a Christian simply so that men can sit up and take notice and say, that's a good man, she's a good woman. That's not our reasoning. That's not why we do this. And so as we talk about this, let me just ask, do you ever look at what somebody else does in Christian life and try? You find yourself trying to measure and compare yourself to them and you know, you look at their works and what they're able to accomplish and you just kind of feel, well, you know, kind of feel bad. You know, they're doing so much more and they're accomplishing so much more and they seem to have so much more talent or whatever it may be. And whether it's something good or something bad in this, as far as this comparison goes, you know, we need to realize that we're making a mistake when we compare ourselves with others. We're making a mistake. That's not the right standard. To determine if you're faithful or not, you don't look sideways. You don't look around you to determine if you're faithful to the Lord. You look up. You look up. The standard is there. The standard is our Lord Jesus. Paul says, be ye followers of me as I follow Christ. We look up if we want to see if we're faithful or not. Because this is not a good gauge. And the reality is, it's easy for us. You know, we might think, well, I'm not so bad when I look at him, you know. I mean, I look at, you know, Stan, here I am looking at you, and I'm sorry about that. But, you know, I'm not so bad when I look at him or well, you know, I'm not so bad when I look at her or something like this. And, or we might go the other way and say, you know, I'll never be able to do what she's able to do. She helps so many people. She does so many good works. I'll never be able to do what she does. And we end up leading to feelings of wanting to give up. I call it the why try syndrome. The why try syndrome. Why should I even try? I'll never be as good as so-and-so. And so it's kind of a bad thing that Satan puts a trick. He puts a trap in front of us and we fall into it when we start comparing ourselves with others, whether it be good or whether it be bad. And we just need to be on guard against that. The parable of the talents assures us that we are responsible for what God gives to us, not what he has given to someone else. And you recall that story in Matthew 25, 14 through 30. He gives one man five talents. He gives another man two talents. He gives another man one talent. Now, it appears that this talent is money. But you can take this as an allegory, and those talents can refer to abilities. We use the word talent to be an ability. You know, oh, look, he's got talent. America's got talent. China has got talent now. Did you know that? China has got talent. They got a TV show. China's got talent. Never understood a word they said. But evidently, they've got talent. Well, that's not the point. This is some sort of a sum of money, and they're to invest this and use this and bring him profit. And the five-talent man does, and the two-talent man does, but he doesn't bring as much as the five. The one-talent man does nothing. He could have done something, but he does nothing. And he is basically, I can't help but believe, I know the text doesn't say this, Richard. I know the text doesn't come out and say it. But I cannot help but believe that he's looking at what these other guys have, and maybe he's thinking, I can't do much. I can't do much with this. I just got one talent. What if I lose this? You know, the five-talent man, he might lose some, but he's not going to lose it all. I've got one talent. If I lose all this, I am in big trouble. So I'm just not even going to try. I'm going to hide it and then come back later and hopefully things will work out. Doesn't work like that. God expects us to be faithful. He expects us to serve him. So basically, here's the message. Serve the Lord right now with what you have. Serve the Lord right now wherever you are. Serve the Lord right now wherever you are. With whatever you have, serve the Lord right now. Now, there's three examples I'll give you, and then the lesson is yours. Serve the Lord with what you have from the heart, like the widow who gave all she had. Turn to Mark 12, verses 42 through 44. Mark 12. We're going to look at these three examples, and then we're done. Mark 12, 42 through 44. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrans. So he called his disciples to himself. He saw what the woman did. Come here, boys. Come here. I want to tell you something. Assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. Yesterday, we were door knocking in Houston Place. Man, beautiful place. Ashley and I were working together. Faye and Wayne were working together, others, but Faye and Wayne were commenting to themselves about something, and Ashley and I were commenting to each other about the same thing and didn't even know it. The doors on those houses were stunning. I mean, just house after house. The rest of you that were door knocking, house after house, the doors are just stunning. It's amazing, the artistic design, the craftsmanship, just beautiful, beautiful places. Beautiful homes. And it just, you know, people can look and they can go, ooh, that's really something. And let me tell you something. People that live at Houston Place have a responsibility to give as God has given to them. And people who live at what was Lawson's trailer park down here have the exact same responsibility to give as God has given to them. Doesn't matter if you live in government housing or if you live in a mansion on a hilltop. It doesn't matter. You're to give as God has given to you. And this widow, it seems to indicate in this context that this widow put in an incredibly large percentage of what her income was compared to what these rich people were putting in. See, they were putting in maybe $100, maybe $1,000, maybe $5,000. I don't know. They were putting in chunks of change, but it was out of their abundance. And she put in all she had. She sacrificed. She sacrificed. See, a sacrifice for some of us would be just a few dollars, and a sacrifice for others would be quite a few dollars. And that's okay. There's no difference in us. God sees us the same. Now, I'm going to get political. I'm sorry. One thing that is frustrating about what our government is doing now is class envy and class warfare and trying to stir up people against the poor, against the rich, and the evil rich or the evil poor, however you want to, whichever side of the coin you want to be on. And it's a crying shame that people are letting Satan use them like this. God sees all of us the same. Whether we live in this place or that place, and we're to give as we've been prospered. So we give from the heart. We don't give just, okay, here, there's $100, no problem. Man, some folks put in $100, that's a big problem. Some folks put in $100, they don't even think about it. No big deal. We're to give as we've been prospered. We're to give as God has given to us. Proportionately, appropriately, cheerfully, willingly, from the heart. And that's the title of the lesson, Ken. From the heart. From the heart. So she gave all that she had with what little she had. Folks, you know, the Lord never told us to put everything in the collection plate. But he did tell us to dedicate all of it to God. That it all belongs to God. That we're to use whatever God gives us to his service. And that we are to give into the plate a portion of what God has given to us. A percentage, if you please, from the heart. And we're to do so cheerfully and freely. In fact, the only place where Christians are allowed to be liberal is their giving. You like that? I just made that up. But that's the only place we're allowed to be liberal is our giving. And we need to be liberal givers. We need to be free givers. So, and this church is a good giving church. But there are some of us that can definitely do more than what we're doing. And so my advice and my encouragement is that we give from the heart like the widow gave. And then we serve the Lord from the heart like the woman who anointed Jesus. In Mark 14, 1 through 9, I did a sermon on this a couple of months ago. So I'm not going to belabor this point. I just want to bring out one major highlight from this story. This is the woman. It was Mark 14, 1 through 9. It's right before the feast of the Passover. The chief priests are looking for ways to put Jesus to death. And so he's at Bethany at the house of Simon the leper. He's at the table. A woman comes in with an alabaster flask full of oil, costly oil of spikenard. She breaks it, pours it over his head, and some are indignant, and they say, why was this fragrant wasted? Why was this? This was expensive. This could have been worth more than 300 denarii, and the money could have been given to the poor. But verse 6, Jesus says, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me, for you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not always have always, or do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. And as the point I made in the lesson before, it's a good thing she did because they were not able to finish anointing the body of Jesus because of the events that took place after his death and then his resurrection. They were not able to finish anointing the body of Jesus. So it's an interesting thing that she did this at that time. And he went on to say that wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. She gave up the most expensive, the most valuable possession she had and used it to anoint the Son of God. We need to have that kind of service from the heart where we're trying to do something for Jesus. Now, he doesn't need anything from us, does he? Does God need our money? Does he need us to put money? He doesn't need our money. He doesn't even need our work. But we need to do it. It's for our benefit. And so he wants us to do something for him. Look for something you can do for Jesus. Something you can do for the Lord. Now, what can you do for him? You know, the question is asked, what do you give a man who has everything? You know, what do you give him? You know, that people come up with all kinds of newfangled gadgets. I've heard about slippers with headlights. Listen, we've got a bed. Faye picked out this bedroom suit. My stars. It was designed to kill a man. Because it's got these deadly spikes that stick out at the bottom of the where the feet come out. When you get up in the middle of the night, like we men have to do, and go around the bed to get to where you got to go, you bang your toe. Split that thing open. I'm talking from the toe to the heel. Your foot just splits open. Those spikes, they were terrible, terrible. But slippers with headlights, what a great idea. Somebody wants to get me a pair of those, I'll be glad to have them. Batteries included. What do you get the man who has everything? What can we do for the Lord? What does the Lord need from us? He doesn't need anything. So what can we do for the Lord? We can be faithful to him. We can honor his name. We can remember him always. Honor his memory by being faithful to him, by obeying his commandments, by proving to him every day that we live that we love him. That we love him. And that we're so grateful that he did for us what he did on Calvary. That we are so grateful that he did for us what he did when he brought us the hope of life eternal. And when he blessed us with the opportunity to hear the gospel and to obey that gospel. So we can serve him faithfully from the heart and bring glory to his name. That's what we can do. And that's what we need to do. Look for ways that you can do that every day. That you can honor Jesus like this woman who anointed the Lord. And then finally this evening, 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Now this is Paul's last book. This is the last thing he ever wrote. This is the same book where he says it's the time of his offering is at hand. But as he starts this book, then the first chapter, he's talking about Onesiphorus. Onesiphorus. Now you may pronounce his name differently, and I don't care. But here he says in verses 16 through 18, the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. Where? Back in Ephesus. Paul evidently was in prison at some point in Ephesus. And Onesiphorus ministered to him, met his needs, helped him in ways that we don't even know about. He says, but when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. I have to pause right there. If you go to a city that you don't know, how do you go about finding somebody that's there when you don't know where they are? How do you go about finding them? Well, you might try whitepages.com. Ha, what a joke now. You know, that used to be a really good, helpful website. Now, it's useless. You might open this telephone book, but guess what? A lot of folks don't have a phone number in the telephone book anymore. It's just cell phones now for the most part. So telephone books are really getting kind of hard. But you know what? They didn't have whitepages.com back then. And they didn't have telephone books back then. They didn't even have what we would consider a normal post office back then. They did not have some central clearinghouse for where people were. So he had to find Paul. How he went about that, I can only imagine. But it says, he sought me out very zealously. He failed a lot. I don't know who he is. I don't know where he is. I'm sure he heard that many, many, many times. He sought me out very zealously and found me. Folks, we give up too easy sometimes. We give up on each other. We give up on folks that we're trying to reach. We give up on doing some good thing. We give up too easy sometimes. Onesiphorus, we learn a lesson from him, man. He was searching for Paul with all he had. He was seeking him from the heart. And he found me. And the Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. May God bless him on the day of judgment for the work that he has done, for the service he has rendered. He has been a blessing to the ministry. And you know very well how he ministered to me in Ephesus. Here was a man who was so dedicated to helping his brother Paul that he went to the expense and the time and the trouble to find him in a distant city and work with him and serve him and minister to him in whatever way he was needed. We need to learn lessons from those in the Bible about what it is to serve the Lord from the heart. One of the rarest traits in this country today is faithfulness. It's a very rare trait. I don't know how many of these Hollywood movie stars are still on their first marriage. I would think it would be a minority. I would think that most of these Hollywood superstars have been married 2, 3, 4 times or more. And many of them no longer bother with marriage. They just hook up and there they are. It's amazing how finding faithfulness in this country is so hard. In our politicians, finding faithfulness. In the people that, you know, how many of you get your mail delivered to the wrong place? Now, I know there's human error, but come on. Some things get to be ridiculous. Our mail carrier, I don't know who this person is, but they ain't paying attention, okay? Faithfulness is a rare quality anymore. It should not be rare in Christians. It should be the common description of what a Christian is, that we are faithful to the Lord in all things. Faithfulness in being a husband or a wife. Faithfulness in Bible teacher, as a mother or a father, as a friend, as a Christian. Faithfulness is required. God calls us to greatness, to be faithful, even in the ordinary, even in the mundane, even in the day-to-day drudgery that is required to be a faithful Christian. God calls for us to be faithful, even in the ordinary, even in dealing with just the average things. So work heartily, heartily for the Lord. Serve the Lord from the heart, and He will bless you. That's the lesson. If there's anyone that needs any help, we want to help. If there's anyone here tonight who is not ready to leave this world, we can help you get ready. If you're not a Christian, let us help you. Become a child of God. Obey the gospel before it's too late. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, then repent of your sins, confess your faith in Him, and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins in the name of the Lord. If you're already one of His people, but you've not been faithful, whatever your situation, come to Him. Come back to Him while you can. If there's any way we can assist you tonight, we encourage you to come right now as we stand and sing.